Hi, and welcome back to the Jarcast. I'm your host, Sally Berry.
And I'm Boyd Balsley. Today we have Ms. Spangler on with us, a math and literature teacher here at ACA, who also is an alumna of ACA.
That's excited to talk with y'all.
I was just wondering, how does it feel to be back at ACA?
There are a lot of parts feel very familiar. I'm still, you know, working really closely with Mr. Sheps, Mr. Andrew, Mr. Nugent, and those were people who taught me for 5, 3, and 3 years, respectively, who have known me for 10. So I think that's a really familiar and comforting part of it. It's also really different. There's so much that I didn't understand as a student about being a teacher that I've had to learn now that I have this job. Mm-hmm. So I have a newfound respect too for a lot of the things that they did when we were here and all the things that they started since the school's opening.
Do you think it seems different since over those 4 years? Did it change a lot?
It's funny that you asked that. The way that I remember ACA is probably the way that it existed in its first 2-3 years. Mm-hmm. And so when I compare how it is now to my experience, I'm comparing it to those really early years. And I would say there are a ton of differences. I mean, the first one that comes to mind is, right, female students can now wear pants. That was not allowed when I was here. And that was also something that students tried to make happen, like through student government. And there were, you know, the answer was no. So I think that is one very visible difference. And, you know, there are also the house system that's new since I was a student. There are a bunch of differences, and I would say in a lot of, like, the school culture parts. And I think that over the past 4, 5, 6 years, the school has really become really intentional about those aspects of the school and in cultivating those, which I think is great. And I mean, the middle schoolers that I teach have a ton of fun on Friday afternoons with calf period, and they're really motivated by house points throughout the week. I don't know as much about the high school and what goes on there, but those are some of the really visible things, changes.
Are there any, like, things that you miss that aren't at ACA anymore?
Oh, that's a good question. Things that I miss. The only feelings of maybe, like, longing that I experience are I'll talk to my parents or my high school friends about work and about teaching, and there are now things that they are not aware of. And so there's, right, while these things are still known by me, they're not known by my peers. And so that is an odd, you know, that is an odd difference. You know, I can think of, like, there are four or five, six girls who I graduated with who are back in Atlanta, whom we all see each other pretty regularly, and they're, you know, various levels of keyed in to high school and to ACA for really logical reasons, right? Like, you graduate and you do go on to life. But it's odd that they don't know it to the same extent that I know it now.
Mm. Is there anyone else from that first graduating class that works here?
Yes, Ms. Lawson in the resource room. So she and I graduated together. She went to Hillsdale, and then I went to Washington and Lee, and then now we're back. So
how was Washington and Lee?
Oh, it was awesome. I loved college. It was a great 4 years. The pandemic took place at the end of our freshman year and for the duration of our sophomore year. So it was definitely an adjustment.
Like, virtually, mm-hmm. But you were still there.
Yes. From March to May of our first year, we were at home. But for our sophomore year, we were largely virtual and then sort of somewhat hybrid, but still on campus, which was nice. But yeah, great friends. You know, it was a great education. I really loved my classes. It's funny, there's a lot of WNL families at ACA. So I've had a couple parents, you know, share, oh, we went there, or I just hired someone who went there. So in a lot of ways, this is still a continuation of that community as well.
It's in a pretty rural area, right? Mm-hmm. Do you prefer, like, the big city, like Atlanta, or more of a rural area?
Well, I love Atlanta. I really love Atlanta. But I think I prefer the rural area. I think I liked how it was a lot slower It was, everything was walkable. It was sort of this idyllic space in which you could see your friends in 2 seconds, and then you could go to a coffee shop or go sit in the library for a couple hours and do work, or you could talk with professors because you would see them walking from campus to their homes, which, you know, were only 300 yards to, you know, to the left of campus. So I think in part maybe I really just like Lexington more than a large city, but I do love being back in Atlanta and getting to experience a city in a really different way than when I was in high school.
Does Washington and Lee have a study abroad program?
Yes, they do. They have pretty solid study abroad. I was a tour guide, so I can tell you, right, 100% of students have the opportunity to study abroad, and about 70% do. And there's a whole other spiel. But yeah, it's the school has a ton of resources. I've told Mrs. Dahlaker that my goal is to get someone else to go while I am here. Because I went, and then Lucy Eagleson, who graduated the year after I did from ACA, is also there now. She's finishing up her senior year, or starting her senior year. And so I think it's got a little bit of everything, so I'm willing to make that sell pretty hard for it.
Did you study abroad?
I did. I studied abroad in Copenhagen, Denmark for about 12 weeks. We do a spring term, a Maymester at Washington and Lee. So you take one class for 4 weeks. And I took, and those are all Washington and Lee classes that you take with Washington and Lee professors. But some are on campus, some are in different places in the U.S., and some are international. So I took a class on the economics of education, and we compared Danish policies and schools to U.S. policies and schools. And so we went to Copenhagen for 3 weeks. We were on campus for one, and then I spent the summer in Copenhagen taking 2 courses through DIS, which is a sort of study abroad. Well, just sort of solely a study abroad program in Copenhagen and in Sweden as well. But I didn't go to that part.
What was your favorite part about Copenhagen?
Well, it's really clean, and it's also, I mean, they have wonderful, it's really walkable. It's really, there's great public transportation. It's sort of idyllic in those senses. It's also just beautiful. Being there in the summer, I didn't experience the cold of the winter, which I think was good, because just the sort of yearly snow that we would get in Lexington was a lot for me to adjust to from Atlanta. It was also really nice as someone who, I don't speak Danish. I only speak English. And in Denmark, all of the citizens of Denmark speak both Danish and English. They actually start learning English at age 6, and by sort of their, what we would probably say is their 10th, 11th grade year, they're completely fluent in English. Mm. So, you know, there's also sort of an ease in that sense to being in American person there. But yeah, it was a great experience. I also got to live in an apartment with 4 Danes and I think 7 other U.S. students, and so that was really nice to get to meet people who went to the University of Oregon and the University of Nebraska and Indiana, you know, the schools that were really different from the one I went to, but students who were also from really different parts of the country. So in some ways, you know, getting to be in Europe and watch the literal world sort of open up to me. I also got to see the U.S. open up to me through these 7 or 8 other American students that I got to live with.
At Washington and Lee, what was your favorite part there?
So I was an English major, and I did a math minor and an education policy minor, and I really loved the English department. So I think during the first semester of my first year, I had a great professor. His name was Professor Bill Oliver. I took an American short stories class with him. Got to reread a lot of like Flannery O'Connor and other sort of shorter pieces that we had read at ACA, which was nice because I was pretty well primed for those discussions. And then I really got to dig into the major my junior year once we were more past the pandemic and classes were back in person. And so I loved that, and I took really cool classes on Susan Laurie Parks and on realism and on indigenous literatures, but then also on, you know, hyper-specific medieval poetry. So I loved that range. I loved getting to know the professors, these people who were really, really specialized in these really nuanced topics. And you could just talk to them sort of for hours about it. So by the end, I wrote a senior thesis, which was a highlight of my senior year. So that was an English honors thesis. It's about 60 to 100 pages, depending on how you do it. So mine was 75. It was on a memoir called Bad Indians that one of my Washington and Lee professors had written, and then on a hybrid piece of literature called Storyteller by Leslie Marmon Silko, and she's also another Indigenous writer. And so it was a wonderful year-long project that I think was just a nice period of exploration.
What was your favorite piece of literature you've ever read?
Oof. At ACA, it was All the King's Men by Robert Penn Warren. That was just such a fundamental read for me. I think that's sort of when I didn't like reading until 11th grade. And so I really loved American literature. That was a ton of fun. And I liked the familiarity of the settings, right? To read Flannery O'Connor in the Southern Gothic, and then to get to think about where we are, was I think a really tangible experience. And so I think that made it more exciting for me. And then at school, oh, that's a really hard question. I took this class called Choreographed Duets, which was on the plays of August Wilson and Susan Laurie Parks. And the Susan Laurie Parks play that I'll say was my favorite was Top Dog, Underdog, which I read twice, once in a Shakespeare course, where we talked about twins. And so we would compare Top Dog, Underdog, which is about these two brothers, to Twelfth Night. And but then also in this Susan Laurie Parks and August Wilson class. So it was just it's a really cool reimagining of the assassination of Abraham Lincoln. Yeah, great book, great play. It actually just won a Tony this year. So if you're involved in the Tony Awards, it just won a Tony. So, which is great. And she's still living and still producing and writing, and yeah.
Were you always interested in math too, or is that more of a recent?
No, I actually, in high school, for most of my K through 12 schooling, I liked math more than anything else. Mm-hmm. I'd always wanted to be a math teacher. Like that was a specific subject that I wanted to teach. And then when I went to college math is a lot different than K through 12 math. It's far more theoretical. It's far more proofs based. I tell my students now that your first 13 years of math education, you're just spent like learning grammar. That's sort of the English equivalent of what you're doing in math, right? You're learning numbers, you're learning operations, you're learning how to put numbers together, right? You're learning letters, you're learning words, you're learning parts of speech, you're learning how to put sentences together. There's sort of this paralleling of the way that we come to understand math and for us, English, we just tend to do it a lot quicker for English than we do for math. And so when it came time to write really long proofs or to think really theoretically and in a very, in some ways, non-tangible way, maybe I was a little less motivated by a love of subject. But now I teach algebra right now, I'm loving that. And I'm coming to understand these really foundational topics a lot better in a way that's really exciting for me and I hope for my students. We'll see how this next test goes tomorrow.
What specific classes do you teach? I know you said algebra. Is it algebra 1 and 2? And then?
So I have two sections of algebra 1, and I have one section of 7th grade literature, and I have one section of 8th grade literature. So I have a nice range. But that's also fun because a lot of the 8th grade texts I read myself as an 8th grader here. That was when I began at ACA, is when the school opened, was my 8th grade year. But so these 7th grade texts I didn't read at school. I have read them for work, and I'm now reading them with my students. But we've just begun Cyrano de Bergerac, and it's nice. Well, it's, I don't know if nice. It's maybe humbling to stumble over the French pronunciations of the names and have my, you know, 12-year-old students correct me on them. But it is nice to sort of do that, experience that for the first time together.
What's a book that you really love that wasn't here when you were here as a student?
The Hobbit is one, I would say. We didn't, that wasn't here in my grade 8 to grade 12 experience. That was not something that we read. So I loved reading that for work. And I think it is now a 7th grade text. It used to be, I guess, an 8th grade text. And I think a lot of the way I understand 7th grade literature is, the point of 7th grade literature is, in some ways, to develop a love of reading, right? To develop a love of what books can do and be. And I think we begin with Fahrenheit 451. That one, I think, engages with that pretty explicitly. And I think The Hobbit is a novel that's really easy to love and a story that's really easy to love. So hopefully they'll love it too.
You mentioned plays earlier. Do you like theater?
Sally, I don't know if I should say that on here. Yeah, I do. I do. That's... I did one. Well, we had... ACA did its first play while I was here. First musical. So I enjoy that. I enjoy a good show with the Fox if my parents are generous enough to take me. Yeah, and I really come to enjoy reading them. I think as I was prepping to teach Cyrano, I was looking at some old notes of Mrs. Holtz, and she emphasizes, right, that plays, when we read plays, we are doing something wrong. They are not intended to be read. They are intended to be seen. And that was one thing I really did love about how I learned plays at school, at college, was that we would watch them often, or we would read them alongside. We had access to huge digital libraries of recorded Shakespeare plays, and it was really amazing to read Twelfth Night alongside a performance of Twelfth Night. And I mean, I guess this is not really, I think you might have been asking about something more personal than what I'm saying, but yeah. So I do enjoy a good show.
So. What play was the first one at ACA?
It was Cinderella, yeah.
And you participated in it?
Yeah.
Who did you play?
I was the evil stepmother. I was also telling some of my students that their other teachers are able to have this sort of mystery factor, right? Like there is something sort of mysterious about certain teachers. I don't have that. It's really easy to learn a lot about me pretty quickly from, you know, old photos that are still on the walls, or my yearbook is in the front office. I will admit, I was in that play. I was the evil stepmother. It was a ton of fun. It's actually, and one thing that I've really loved about coming back to ACA is that I still know a lot of families and a lot of students. Maybe not really directly, but really indirectly. And so, you know, I can, like, there's a sixth grader who I see in the hallways, but her mom helped out a ton with Cinderella. And so now I see her. And so she would come to our practices, this sixth grader would. And so now I see her almost daily, and, you know, she asked me for homework help yesterday, and, like, that was really nice to get to sort of continue a connection that began 5 years ago.
How many students do you, like, just vaguely recognize from when you went here? Is it a fair amount, or?
Yeah, it's always surprising who it is. There's a good number. I mean, for instance, again, like, I am aware of your brother. I know your sister somewhat. For instance, your sister and I did a performance thing together when I was in middle school. We were with Megan Hodge. I don't know if you ever did voice lessons with Megan Hodge.
Oh, the piano.
Yes. Yes. Like, so I did that, right? Like, I did that too, and we would be in these productions. And that's not academic at all, but that's, like, that's a way that I new people, or I'm teaching, there's a couple students who I graduated with, I'm teaching their siblings in my algebra class, or I went to church with my parents the other Sunday, and it was the church I went to growing up all my life, and there were four students or five students there, and so, yeah, so those are students that I don't maybe that specific example, I did not know them while I was here, but there are plenty who I did or who I, you know, it's like, oh, I would see, you would have, you were an elementary schooler, you would have recess when we would have 12th grade lunch, and so we'd see you then, or stuff like that.
Do you have kids come up to you and say, like, oh, I know you?
Yes, I've had that. I've had that with a couple students. There's been mainly girls. There's been a couple girls who've come up and said, oh, I remember you when you were here, which is really nice. You know, you feel very seen when that happens. But it's always funny too. There are a couple students who I vividly remember. Like I can think of one specific eighth grader who I would ride the bus to pick up my car my junior and senior years, and he would sort of sit in the bus seat across from us. And on the first day of school, he was in my study hall, and I was just like, I know you. But I couldn't place it at the time, and then shortly I did it, and he was just like, I have no idea who you are. Because he was so, you know, he was a lot younger when I was 5 years ago, or 4 years ago, whatever that was. So yeah, there's different levels of familiarity, and some people I'm familiar with who they don't remember me, or they remember me, but I don't remember them.
Is it weird being colleagues now with some of your former teachers? Has that been a weird thing?
The weird part, I would say, would have to be using their first names. Because I think in a lot of ways I'm still in a student role, right? I'm still learning how to be a teacher. I'm still learning how to be a good teacher. So I'm still being observed by Mr. Sheps, Mr. Andrew, Mr. Nugent, and evaluated by them like I was as a student. But to call Dr. Roth by his first name, I still don't do that one. That feels like a huge transgression of a boundary that existed for 5 years. So that was the hardest part of, honestly, the switch between being a student to being a peer or a colleague. And I do think, though, that the 4 years of college and that separation made that transition a little smoother.
Do you think any other of the people of the first graduating class would come back to teach?
Of my class, I'm honestly not certain. I just don't know if any of them really want to be teachers. I think that there are some younger students or some younger graduates who might or who would want to. And I think that would be fun too. I don't think anyone else in my class, just because I don't think that's their maybe occupational interest. But
yeah. Do you have any hobbies outside of reading and math?
Ooh. Honestly, right now I spend a lot of time working, and when I'm not working, I try to make time to see friends and family. I'm beginning an acrylics painting class with my mom next week. So maybe my new hobby will be painting. But that's definitely a space in which I need to work on.
Well, you were part of the first graduating class of a school. Was that, I don't know, nerve-wracking at all, like as far as the college process goes or anything like that?
I think what I would answer now is probably not how I felt as a senior or as a junior. The college process was nerve-wracking. Like, there was a lot of, especially I think for us being the first people to apply to colleges, there was a lot of uncertainty around it, or at least what appeared to be uncertainty. Like, you know, we didn't know where we would get in, because at that point ACA did not have any established relationships with colleges. And there was just so much unknown. That being said, we had like 100% college acceptance or just about that. And it wound up to be, I think, a more successful process than anyone could have imagined. I won't say it was easy. I took a lot of standardized tests. I spent a lot of time writing personal statements and application essays. We badgered a lot of teachers for letters of recommendation. They wrote really generous and great ones. And so it was definitely nerve-wracking and stressful. But I honestly don't know if it is any more nerve-wracking or stressful than anyone else's college application experience. So yeah, but I wouldn't do it again. You know, I think that that's like, I would not graduate from ACA. I wouldn't do the college process again. I don't know if that's a perfect answer, but that's just what comes to mind.
Was WNL your top choice?
Initially, I really wanted to, well, I sort of went through waves. As a junior, I really wanted to go to Wake Forest. As a senior, I really wanted to go to Notre Dame. And so I was, by the end of my senior year, I was deciding between WNL and Notre Dame. And I received a pretty generous scholarship to WNL, which was maybe the factor that pushed me over the hump to make the decision to go there. And I didn't, you know, I was actually, it's funny, I was asked by one of my college friends the other day if I had ever thought about what would have happened otherwise, and I really haven't. I didn't look back after I made that decision, and I think it was the right one. I mean, I had a wonderful 4 years, so I can't complain in any capacity. But that was sort of where I was, what I was choosing between come the end of senior year.
Could you imagine, like, going to Notre Dame, like, once you were at WNL?
I mean, the schools are really different, right? Notre Dame has, the first thing that comes to my mind is football, right? Notre Dame has a really great football team and environment. I went to the Notre Dame-Michigan game when I was deciding on where to go, and that was a ton of fun, and that was the first game where the shirt was revealed that they make every year for the football team. And WNL is a Division III, and our football is not our best sport. But yeah, so I think my college experience would have been really different if I had gone to Notre Dame. I can't say it would have been better or worse. I just think it would have been different. And in a lot of great ways, and probably in a lot of, you know, uneventful ways. So, yeah.
Did you do any internships or work anywhere while in college?
I had a lot of jobs on campus. So I worked in a writing center. I was a tour guide. That was a paid position, which was really nice. I was a volunteer coordinator, which was also a paid position, which was really nice. Which probably seems, you know, it probably seems oppositional to the idea of volunteering, right? Like getting paid to coordinate the volunteering. But I was not complaining about the extra, what was like $15 an hour. But then I had one summer internship in Atlanta. I did summer research at WNL that was paid, or that was sort of, I received a stipend for. So I did a couple sort of paid endeavors, but they weren't, I think, what we imagine is like the conventional business internship or banking internship or finance internship.
Kind of switching subjects a little bit. You changed to ACA in eighth grade.
Mm-hmm.
Did you go, was that just a major change from where you went before? I assume it was. Were you at Sutton or something?
I was, yeah. So I went to E-Rivers, then I went to Sutton, and then I came here. It was definitely, I mean, this was the first time I ever wore a uniform. That was really foreign. I did not like it at first. I really didn't. And then it became so nice come senior year when you could wake up so when I was here, school started at 7:45. So you could wake up at 7:15, you know, get ready in 10, 15 minutes and then be at school. That was a huge change. The whole structure of the classroom was really different. I think what was asked of us was also a big shift, right? We had a lot of homework. I think that I think that's still, that seems from the student's perspective, that is very much still true. And that was an adjustment that, again, a lot, the expectation of us as students was much higher, it seemed. Not to say that at any of the schools that I went to before, there was not a high expectation for their students, but I maybe felt that expectation more here. But I also, again, it was the first time I had teachers who were maybe more who were about my age or younger. Most of my teachers were first year teachers, and they were fresh out of college, and so we're looking at like a 7-8 year age gap. And that's really different from a, you know, 20, 30 year age gap, which was what I was sort of used to before I came to ACA. And I suddenly got to know teachers in a much closer capacity than before. And I think what was also so foundational and fundamental for my experience of ACA was the fact that for 5 years, in some capacity, I had Mr. Sheps. Like, I had him every single year. I had Dr. Roth every single year. Mrs. Huff taught me, I think, 3 years. Mr. Nugent, 3 years. You know, I can think of other teachers who, I mean, Mr. Guak taught me for 4 years, right? These were people that I got to know so closely, in part because I saw them for 180 days for 3, 4, 5 years. That was the sweetest change, right? Like, that familiarity, that community, that relationship was a really nice difference.
I think that's a good place to end it at. So thank you so much for coming.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank y'all.